I'll once again be greeted with grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I've been looking at a lot of scripture, to be honest with you, when I found out that I had to do the closing message for the service. I had a lot of scripture that came to my mind as you listen to the sermons. Speaking brothers probably can relate to this. You start thinking of different spots, perhaps, that would work well for a parting service. So I've thought of Chronicles and Exodus and Psalms. But recently I was led, I believe, to 1 Corinthians. So I'd like to use that for the closing message for the services. And that would be out of the first chapter of 1 Corinthians, the 18th verse, and reading down through the 6th verse of chapter 2. So again, that's the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. Reading from chapter 1 and beginning reading from verse 18. And I'll read then as follows in the name of our Lord. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Father, sanctify us in the truth, for your word is indeed truth. Amen. It's kind of amazing, really, when you begin to study the word of God and you look at the various teachings, the various things that you see throughout the word of God. And as you begin to study it more and more, and perhaps as you speaking brothers can relate to this, but maybe many of you can relate to this, as we study the word, it seems like we know less. At least this is the way I have found it to be. You know, I don't find that I grow wiser and wiser over the years as I study and read the Word of God, but rather it seems like the central message of the Scripture becomes more and more plain. In other words, very often what we don't even begin to realize, did I lose my battery here? It's fine, okay. It's not fine. We need some batteries, most likely. Sound guys, you got some batteries? Or you want me to use this? Use the pulpit, okay. I'll just take this off then. Now, how do you resume? But what I was really driving at is the central message of the Scripture, as our elder brother, I hope that's okay to call him our elder brother, has shared, is none other than the cross. You see, this is really what Paul begins to drive across as he ministers on to a church there in Asia Minor, the Corinthian church, which was a great church. It was a large church with many gifts, and he speaks of them in this manner. If you read the entirety of the letter, they were gifted people of God. God had granted unto them all of these marvelous gifts that they were able to now use in the building up and edification of the church. But they had lost sight, as it were, of the one thing that unites us as Christians and as believers in this world. They had lost sight of the power of God and where the power of God and the glory of God was manifested or revealed. You see, that's why whenever we begin to look at the Scripture, whenever we begin to talk about the simple message, and I, with Wilford, felt very much moved by the sermon this morning that our brother gave. As I again beheld the man, as he said. And perhaps that's what drew me to this text tonight. It's not about great wisdom. It's not that I, as a man or as a preacher, have so much wisdom or anything like that that I'm able to relay a message to an audience like this. It's simply the message of the cross of Jesus Christ. And in that message, my friends, lies everything that you and I need. You see, there's no better thing for you and me to leave, you and I, to leave this audience, this convention, than understanding the power of God. The power of God lies in the finished work of Jesus Christ. And that's why, as we gather here for this closing service, I can think of no better thing to bring you to as you begin to make your journey homeward, wherever that might be. As you begin to relive or begin to think about these services, I pray that what you remember is Christ was preached over and over again from the various speaking brothers in their various gifts and styles. Christ was preached. The cross was lifted up, and on that cross we recognize our Savior died. And he died there for you and for me. Why? Because he loves us with a tremendous love that goes beyond anything that we could ever begin to explain. Why God would love a miserable sinner like me is beyond my comprehension or understanding. So if you are in the audience tonight, and you think that perhaps this message doesn't apply to you, let me assure you, it does.
This message applies to each one, no matter what your walk of life is. You see, it's time for us to lay aside, as it were, our differences. It's time for us to stop bickering over small little things within the church and get back to where its power comes from, the simple message of the cross. It is the cross, my friends, which has delivered unto you and unto me life. It is in this person, Jesus Christ, that you and I now find our very existence. It changes everything for us. It changes everything. Because in this man, this is what Paul recognized. He says, there's no study that I could possibly do. There's no scribe that could come onto this stage and bring you anything better from the wisdom of this world, from those who are trained in psychology or any other thing. There's no other message that they could bring to you that would possibly bring you the same message that this man has brought. That's why Paul says, how could you be so foolish that you would begin to bicker about little small things in the church and begin to divide yourselves among party lines or according to certain individuals? You have lost the power of God. And it's time for us to realize that. You, as well as I, understand how our world is. We understand the recent ruling of our Supreme Court. And perhaps there's some here who feel a great amount of trepidation or fear as we wonder what perhaps is the direction of our country. What direction are we going? What's going to happen for us? And you know what we do? We stand up and we preach the power of the cross. And when it gets tough, we stand up and we preach the power of the cross. And when they begin to assail us and when things begin to get ugly, we stand up and we preach the power of the cross. Because it is this power, my friends, that has brought us to life and will sustain us all the way to the homeland. You and I belong to a kingdom that supersedes any other kingdom that has ever existed in this world, that is way over the top of the United States of America. And we love the United States of America, but what we need to understand as believers tonight, that this man who died on the center cross of Calvary has united us as one. And we are now to understand that as we live out our lives in this world, as we live out our lives here in this great land of America, we go forth in the power of the cross. And we recognize what that has done for us. No longer do we need to hang our heads. No longer do we need to bemoan ourselves, though we do that. But we are to recognize what Paul says here. He says, yes, I am weak. And I often, when I come to you, come with trembling and fear. But that doesn't matter. Because your faith, my friends, does not stand in any preacher's deliverance of the message. Your faith stands on the power of God. Do you see how simple the message is that he brings forth from this chapter, from the part of this chapter and part of the following? He simply brings the people back to this central location of the cross. This is where you now stand. To stand anywhere else is to bring immediate defeat. Because in Christ now is my identification. In Christ now is my all in all. In Christ now is my righteousness, my sanctification, my redemption, my justification, my righteousness. It is in Christ. Paul doesn't use that terminology lightly. He wants his listeners to get it. You tonight, this is what I want you to get. You cannot stand, and when things get ugly, you will not stand in and of yourselves. We need to learn that. How foolish for us to think that somehow by us modifying our behavior that we'll be able to stand. We will not. I only can stand in the merits of Jesus Christ. It is only as I recognize that Him and the power of His cross has now brought me to a new existence. I no longer dwell simply according to the old man or the old way of thinking. That is history. I now live according to the new. Some of the elders of bygone days, one of them in particular, made this statement. He said, when I go to the conventions or to any series of services, what I want to hear is the new song. I want to hear the new song. The old song is over. It is the new now where we find ourselves. You see, I don't know why we can't get this. I don't know why we can't understand the simple, victorious message of the gospel that tells us that we are now victors in Jesus Christ. He has washed us and made us clean in His blood. We are His children. He has granted all of this unto us simply by His grace. And we say, yeah, but. And let me tell you, there are no yeah buts. The scripture is plain and simple. It tells us clearly, if you are in Christ, now you have all of these things. You have actually the wisdom of God. You have His cleansing. You have His righteousness. You have His sanctification. You have all of these things. And why? So that people could be impressed with us? So that people could possibly say, what a good Christian he is? No. We've missed it. You see, if it's about any individual in this audience, if it's about me, then you've missed it. The message is centered, and I say this over and over and over again, but it needs to be stated over and over and over again. The centrality of the message of the Christian church is Christ. You must find yourself in Christ tonight, or you will find yourself simply in despair. It is in Christ now that we are able to live and move and have our being. He has given us all of these things. We have much to be rejoicing in. So why do we hang our heads? There's no reason for us to hang our heads. We have a great Savior. We have heard him described for us out of Isaiah already tonight. We have heard of how much he loves us, what he took and what he went through on our behalf in order to make us his own. We are now united to this one. And you see, that's what I want you to understand. This is what I would like you to leave the convention with as the host congregation and as the pastor of that congregation. That you would understand the power of the living God and where that manifested itself in the center cross of Calvary and in his finished work and his powerful resurrection. Because he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified." Paul says, this is what you need to know. You need to know Jesus. You need to know what he has done for you. The testimony of God is what? When you read the book of Revelation and you read of the testimony of the saints, this is what they're always talking about. They're giving glory to the Lamb. Only to the Lamb belongs all of this glory, power, and strength. Why? Because he has laid down his life for his brethren. Revelation 5. I was looking at this as a possible text too, but it comes to mind again. John, after seeing this vision, was quite upset because there was no one found worthy to open this particular book. But then it's shown to him who can do this. "And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, 'Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And listen, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.' And I beheld and heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever.'" Now, isn't that amazing? You see, what John saw was the throne room of God. And that throne room of God is our destiny. All because of the power of the cross. John saw it via a vision. One day we will see it with our own eyes. Read Revelation 7. Paul says, "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You see, my friends, as you leave from this place, this is what we need to understand. The theme of this convention was "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." It is this word that you have heard declared unto you over and over again throughout this convention that was to bring this same message unto you, that you would rejoice in it. That yes, perhaps you would be convicted in your sins. Perhaps you would need or feel the prodding of God in your life to repent and all of those things, but also to recognize for you, dear believer, tonight, that when you are in Christ, you have everything you need. When you are in Christ, you have everything that you need. One of the brothers, I was told, shared with the young. I asked my sons, "What do you learn? What are they teaching you over there?" He said, he told us that the things in this life don't matter. I said, "Yeah, that's a good message. Because this is the thing that matters. What matters is the power of the cross and the message of the Christian church." So let me encourage you tonight to bring this message, not just you speakers. I know on the opening service I spoke to the speakers a little bit, but tonight I speak to all of you. Bring this message, the power of the cross, to those around you, to the people in your community, into your families, you who are the fathers and mothers of children, or the grandfathers and the grandmothers of children. Share this message with them. You don't have to be schooled. You don't have to have great wisdom. You just simply need to be a partaker of what Christ has given to you by faith. Because this is how God works. Strange, I know, but this is how he works. He works through this communion of saints. And that's what you are. We confess that in our Apostles' Creed, don't we? We belong to the communion of saints, and that is the church militant, which is what we are, as well as the church triumphant, which is the believers who have already arrived in the throne room of God. So may God bless you as you leave from here, as you go to your respective communities, congregations, your work. I pray that he would indeed impress this simple message of the gospel upon you, so that as you live and move, and as you go about throughout your daily lives, you would always understand yourself under this Christ who has brought to you salvation, who has washed you in his own blood, and who now tells you by the power of his word who you are and what you mean to him. He loves you very much. Amen. Let us close in prayer. Gracious Father, we thank you again tonight for the power of the cross. We thank you, Father, that even as we have come to the close of this series of services, Father, you have shown us over and over again through your word the things that you have given unto us, how you have loved us with such a tremendous love that you have taken our great sin debt away from us. You have taken care of it, Father, and you have granted unto us your righteousness. And so empower us, Father, today, tonight, and as the days and weeks fly by, empower us by the power of your Spirit so that we, as the body of believers who are gathered here, could go out and could commune, could bring this message to our communities, to our families, so that many people, Father, who are under the deception of the enemy would be turned to the way, to the truth, and to the life, would be turned to you. That the forgiveness of sins would be proclaimed all around this land, and people would be turned from their desperate plights, from the sin that they are mixed up in, from the things, Father, that separate them from you, that they would find you, that you, Father, would then bring this message to them, and we would simply be your vessels and confess, even as Jesus told us, told his disciples, and so told us as well, we are simply worthless servants. We have only done what you have told us to do. So, Father, strengthen us and be with each one of these who have gathered here tonight. That, Father, as they now leave to their respective homes, wherever that might be, we ask that you would be with them as they travel. Help them to arrive at their destination safely and empower each one of them with the message of your gospel so that, Father, they could minister the same to the people around them and in their lives, and that your name then would be glorified and hallowed. Father, glorify your name, for we ask it for the sake of your Son, and we pray in his holy name. Amen. And now receive the Lord's benediction. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.